Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 2:36. You're listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. We have been leaning on our young people. We have been leaning on our teenagers, our 20-year-olds, to carry us through to this point. And this is not the finish line. This is just the beginning. Earlier this week, before the verdict was read, hundreds of high school students left their campuses, went down to the Justice Center demanding justice, looking for accountability. And Kalia Rose was one of those students. She's a junior, an 11th grader at Robbinsdale Cooper High School. Kalia, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show at 2:30 in the morning. I appreciate it. I'm glad you don't have school tomorrow. Woo!
Yes,
so
am I.
Thank you so much for being here. How did you become a student activist, a student leader?
I just started standing up and speaking my mind and standing up for not right. I'm speaking out to those who don't like to speak in front of crowds and being their voice and helping spread and say what needs to be said.
Now, you know, when we old folks, we think, well, you know, all these kids are on Instagram or they're, you know, on social media, they're doing TikTok videos, but that's not the case. As I look at our community and I saw you all, young people, high school students, leaving campus and marching with signs held up and being brave, I felt like our future is in good hands. You know, talk to me about why you are committed to change, because, you know, you could be just waiting on, you know, your parents to change things and their friends to change things and our leaders to change things. But as a teenager, you're being the change that you want to see.
I be the change that I want to see because we are the next generation. We are that next group of people that have to change things because we're the next generation of adults and we have to be that voice. Otherwise, things aren't going to change. There are people in my age who were all about to go to college, and I think there might be a shortage in cops because people, it's a job that people are starting to not want. And it's not okay because nobody is going to be able to change the system from the inside. So we have to use our voices and so we can change it from the outside.
Now, when you and your classmates left and you all marched down to the government center, tell me what that experience was like.
It was empowering. It was great to be able to be a part of something like that. Great to be able to say that we did that. And it was great to feel like we had a voice and like we were being listened to.
And what was the ultimate goal of leaving campus? Because it was more than just being there. It was a statement, you know, because y'all could have did it on a Sunday. You all purposely planned this during school time and made it as dramatic. I mean, honey, when I saw y'all leaving that campus, pouring out of there, I said, look at them. Look at those brave young soldiers in the fight for freedom. You were making a statement. What were you trying to say to those of us who were watching?
we wanted to say that we are here. We know what's going on. We are aware. A lot of times there's a stereotype that younger people aren't aware of what's going on in the world around them. And we wanted to say, no, we know this is not right. We know this is not okay. And we are going to stand and do what we have to do to get our message out there.
And you all stood together in solidarity. You had your signs. Were you ever afraid? Because y'all didn't look like y'all had no fear. Now, I've been out to the protest site, and I ain't going to lie. I'm praying in the car. I'm praying on the way there. I get out. I'm praying. I'm looking around. Y'all were out there just absolutely fearless.
Well, no, yeah, I definitely think we were scared. And I hate to say it, but it's that fear that some of us have to carry, because it's like, well, are there going to be people there? And if so, how do we react to that? And of course, it was meant to be a peaceful protest. It was just mm-hmm. so people can see that we know what's going on and we want to put an end to it. But yeah, definitely. A lot of us were nervous. There was the question, well, what happens if the police do come? We didn't think that that would be a case because mm-hmm. we were high school students, but at this point, you never really know.
And that didn't stop you, though. I mean, you know, you could have said, you know what? I'm a junior. I want to be a news reporter. I want to go to Clark Atlanta University. I don't want anything to stop me from doing this. I'm just going to post something on social media. I'm going to sit this one out, guys, because it's too tense. Anything could go wrong. I just don't want to be a part of it. But you risk it all to be there. Why?
Because we are the change. And if we aren't willing to take our time and put in effort to make our voices heard, then our voices won't get heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, was this your first protest? For most of you out there, was this the first time that you all had been a part of something like this?
Yes. Well, no, this was not my first time. I know it was a lot of students' first mm-hmm. time, but mm-hmm. in the past, there have been other protests for gun violence and other walkouts for different mm-hmm. things. But yes, mm-hmm. for the specific matter at hand, this was the first time that I have participated in a walkout due to police cruelty and gun violence.
When you saw the verdict today, where were you and what was your response?
I was actually leaving track practice and I was so relieved. I thought, this is great. Now the people of Minneapolis can feel some type of victory. Granted, this is not the end and we do need to still keep fighting because there still are so many other racist cops out there. A 15-year-old girl was just shot yesterday in Columbus, Ohio. So we definitely still need to keep doing what we're doing. But it definitely did feel good to know that that cop was convicted.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about the future and change. What's next for you as a student leader, as a community servant, making your voice heard, being out there, organizing and rallying young people in the fight for justice. Do you all have any more events planned where you're going to be out marching or protesting? What's next for you all?
Yes, we actually are in the process of talking about it just because of how successful the previous one went and how many voices, I mean, how many people were reached and how many hearts were touched. We are definitely in the process of planning more to say, hey, we're still here. We're still fighting for a change. That is not it.
Yeah. And you know, I know you're going to be around to hear the verdict. How has, you know, the sentencing, but how has the verdict changed you? I know for me, when I heard it, it was a sense of relief. And I thought, you know, maybe my life matters. You know, maybe at some point somebody believes that Black lives do matter. That was the message that I heard from the jury today. What message did you get?
Yeah, I got that same message. I thought, well, this is good. This means that the system isn't fully corrupt. There is hope for us. There is hope for us to be able to get treated 100% fairly in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's a small step towards a great future.
Yeah, and you have a great future ahead of you. I can't wait to hopefully be a mentor for you. We're talking to Kalia Rose. She is a junior in 11th grade at Robbinsdale Cooper High School. She was part of the student walkout when it took place right before the verdict came in. And she and hundreds of other Twin Cities high school students made their voices heard in a fight for freedom and justice. Kalia, thank you so much for waking up so early in the morning to talk to me. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You have a great day, and I look forward to all the amazing things that you are going to do and how you are going to change and shape our community in a positive way.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, it's young African-American women who are leading the charge. Looking at Darnella Frazier, has she not been brave enough to record that video and then not just record it but post it on social media for everyone to see, and then come back and recount and retell that story during her testimony, and then to be cross-examined by the defense attorney about what she saw and what she experienced? And then little 9-year-old Judea Reynolds, not old enough to watch a PG-13 movie, but saw a man die in real life in real time. These brave young African-American women are the heroes in this story. And we can't forget their contributions. You know, as we look at CNN and MSNBC and all these other channels as experts and leaders weigh in on the verdict in the murder of George Floyd, let's not forget that originally the news release said that he died of natural causes. Nothing about a knee on the neck. Imagine how different things would have been had it just been the testimony of Derek Chauvin versus Darnella Frazier and the members of the community near the Cup Foods. Without that video, without that documentation. Darnella's footage was the core of the state's case and was a substantial factor in George Floyd receiving justice. The jury was told repeatedly to believe their eyes and to believe the footage. That was Darnella's footage. That's a quote from Jules Porter. She just texted me. She said, "I meant to say that, so I thought I'd send it your way." So I'm saying it for her, to you. We'll be right back. It's 2:51. You're listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. While we were celebrating the guilty verdict and the death of George Floyd, Derek Chauvin led off in handcuffs, awaiting a sentencing in just a few months, almost simultaneously, a 16-year-old girl was shot by Columbus police on the south side of that city. It was 20 minutes. 20 minutes before the guilty verdict was read that this 16-year-old in Columbus, Ohio. The video shows an officer approaching the driveway with a group of young people standing there in the video. It appears that the 16-year-old, now identified by her parents as Makia Bryant, was moments. We talk about this all the time. Nobody comes to our community and just gives us a minute. It's moments after they arrive. Moments. she was shot by police. Where she then falls to the ground. She died a short time later, 16 years old. 20 minutes after we get justice for one police shooting, another happened, and this time a 16-year-old girl. Moments. You know, and we talk about this all the time. When police come to communities of color, they come armed. And for us, they're dangerous. Which is why we don't call police. My children have been taught, do not call police if something happens. You go to a neighbor, you go to a trusted adult, you go to a friend. Because when police show up, we have seconds, we have moments before weapons are drawn. And once they come out, they don't go back in. And you can say, well, you know, this person was aggressive, or I thought they were reaching for this, or I thought they were going for that, or this person had a knife. We saw January 6th, armed and dangerous people descend on our nation's capital. And they got to take selfies with police. They got to be escorted downstairs. They got to get back on planes. After they killed a police officer, after they walked through the halls of our Capitol building with zip ties and weapons, trespassing, as our leaders were rushed to a safe haven where they hid and hoped that they wouldn't be hurt by this crazed mob of people. They were scaling buildings. Law enforcement had guns on them and didn't fire their weapons. We saw it. How is it that white people get time? Get more of the moments. When police show up at the white neighborhood, in the White House, where white people live, can we just be honest tonight? Because this morning, because it's too much going on for me to try to pretend that we're not talking about race. For we to pretend that we're not talking about racism. For us to pretend that police don't look at African and African-American people and Latino people and people in the Hmong community and Hispanic people as a threat. Which is why when they come to your car, they don't have their guns drawn. They're nice. They're smiling. They ask for your ID. They tell you what the infraction is. And then they go back and they run your plate. But when they come to my car, when they deal with my husband, when they look at my child, they have the hand on their weapon. And we have moments. Moments. This 16-year-old girl was shot in a moment. That doesn't have anything to do with police training. That has everything to do with police bias. That has everything to do with racism. When you think that my black skin is already criminal intent, and therefore your weapon should be drawn, or that you don't give me time to explain exactly what's going on, to the point where I have to teach my small children not to call you, then there's no protecting and serving my community. And this is not just one bad apple. This is not just one incident. This is not an anomaly. We can just look at Minnesota. It's happening all too often to people who look like me for me to sit here and try to sugarcoat it or make you feel better about it. Because the time is now for change. And change is not going to come easily or nicely. It's not going to happen because, you know, you and I sit and talk and chat over a hot dish. Change is going to come when we get up off the couch and we get out into the community. We hold our elected leaders accountable. And we do something about these police departments that are putting the lives of African-American people like me, like my husband, like my son, like my children, at risk? What are you willing to do to be the change, just like these young girls, just like Kalia and Darnella and Judea? Let's show our young girls the way. Let's give them a roadmap. Let's give them the example. Let's start today, making the change so that my son won't have to march. Let's make this our last march. We're marching on for another hour right here on the Shaletta Show. Stick around. There's more to come.